I was in here from home, and I'll die in here.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Tuesday night medical broadcast with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Those of you new just tuning in to us, be sure to check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Now, before you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate through all we do here in the Defender 7. Check out and subscribe to our website, all lowercase letters, www.defender7.com. On our website, you'll find we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something from our store or click that donate button. Help us to help you and your community in time of need. That's the only way that we're able to do what we do here in the Defender 7. Check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're also on MeWe. Click on Communities, scroll down to Defenders 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. That's right, folks. We are not a militia. Tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we really do enjoy it when you call in questions or just want to participate in the topic of the night. We're all for it. That number to call, area code 914-205-5773. If you're too shy to call, talk on the phone, we also have a chat room right here on Blog Talk that is also live during all of our broadcasts. So either way, participate. Let us know what you think of our shows, or just communicate with us either way. And now I turn the microphone over to your host, our Colonel, Miss Kimberly Purvis. Good evening, Kimberly.
Howdy ho.
I'm not a hoe.
Okay. Well, at any rate, I forget, man. I'm tired. I am so tired. You know, it is not safe to be an RN in my company this week. I'm telling you. So it's now possibly a third RN getting fired. Now, there's a lot of shit. Everyone knows there's a nursing shortage. Well, there is, but there's not. Because there is a ton of nurses out there. We're just tired of the bullshit. And COVID really did it in for a lot of nurses. And not the honestly, it's not actually the illness itself. It's how people are treating nurses now. You know what I'm saying? What state is it? Minnesota. I think it's Minnesota. All of the nurses in one city in Minnesota are going on strike. Every last nurse in this one particular
wow.
city. And honestly, I don't agree with this strike for one reason. Do you know who's going on strike? RNs and nurse practitioners. Now, call me crazy, but yes, there is a lot of inflation, you know, and prices going up and everything else. These son of a bitches are making over $100,000 a year and complaining they want a livable wage. Yeah, me too. I make a quarter of what they make, and I can survive in Kansas on what I make. More than enough to where I, you know, I could probably upgrade our house. We pay $600 a month. I could probably go up to like $800 or $900, but I choose not to, because
right.
why? Why? I mean, it's retarded. Why? And these people that are complaining, and this can go for anybody. Why live over your means, out of your means? That's retarded. You don't need a $60,000 car. The $300,000, no, you don't. That's stupid. And so I don't agree with it.
You just need an electric car.
Yeah. You know how much an electric car costs to charge?
You're right.
It costs over $100 to charge it, to fully charge an electric car.
Yep.
But it's supposed to save the environment. My ass. Because it takes lithium batteries. Guess how they're getting those lithium batteries? You have to use fossil fuels for the machines to dig them up to make. So it's just, it's all whatever. I don't care. But at any rate, if you're in the medical field, you have one job, and that's to take care of your patient. And depending on what area, like I do hospice, and my job is to take care of the patient and the family. Well, the family's mental well-being. It's not hard to sit there for 5 minutes. We've now enacted this new program called Take Five. And it's just to take 5 minutes. You can do it at the beginning of the visit or at the end of the visit. Because we got to do our complete assessment and then check their meds and all this other stuff. And then we ask what problems they may have for the week or whatever. And then they want you to take 5 minutes or so just to get at their eye level. So if they're in bed, sit in a chair, whatever. Don't look like, you know, hey, I got to go, like, now. And take time to talk to your families and the patients. So one nurse that got canned was our triage nurse on the weekend. So she was only on call. So it's not really – I don't know what the hell she was doing, and I'm like, I don't really know the whole ins and outs of it, but I don't know. So she got fired. Not even an hour later, a second RN got fired. Hers is a little more serious, and I can't go into the exact of why.
Right.
But it's not good. It's not good. All I know is, they had to have HR from Oklahoma drive to Kansas to tell her, you either resign or you get fired. And so she resigned. So, and then another one, she's on suspension. Oh, my God. I'm like, you know why she got suspended? And she might get fired. I don't know. Because she was saying she was visiting a patient when she never did.
Oh.
And changing times of a visit, how long she was there. See, here's the thing she would only be at the patient's house for 10, 15 minutes tops. And so she's like, all she would do is ask a few questions, and that was it. And she's like, she didn't even do anything. I'm like, well, she probably goes off my notes because I see this particular patient all the time, and he doesn't want anyone but me. Hey, cool, whatever. And so she was, yeah, so she may end up getting fired. I'm like, man. And so I talked to another RN. She says, is something going on that I need to know? I'm like, do your job. You don't have to worry about it. Straight up. That's all you got to do. Do your job, and you don't want to get fired. You know?
Right.
But no, I mean, that's all it is. You do what you got to do. I mean, it's not that damn hard. I started with 3 patients today, ended up with 6, and then had to make phone calls for 3 others. And so I just got done at 5:30. So, I mean, I was home at 4:30, but I had to spend an hour charting on the rest of my patients and making phone calls. And, oh, my God, such a friggin' – it is time – it's – what you call it, mentally taxing.
Yeah.
To do hospice. It really is. But, so, funny story. Pat's gone to Georgia for the week to go see his family, his dad's side of the family. And I'm like, oh, cool, I guess I'll spend the week. And most of the time you're thinking, ah, yes, I got the house to myself. No, it sucks. I hate being alone in the house. I can't stand it at all. It drives me nuts. Even though I have the 2 dogs, I can't stand it. So I'm like, well, I'll just throw this. I bought this little roast. I threw it in the crock pot this morning at like 8:30 before I walked out the door. And I put it on low because I didn't want to run the risk of shit burning the house down while I'm gone. So I check my cameras just to make sure the dogs do not go in the kitchen. When I got home, well, I put the crock pot on the counter, but it doesn't matter because my dipshit jumps up. Well, she puts her paws on the counter, and all she had to do was pull that thing on the floor. And then I would have had to have beat her, and that would not have been nice. But anyway, I get home, and these 2 are running around the house, ape shit, nuts, retarded. And I'm like, wow, you guys must have to go to the bathroom. You know, you have pee pads on the floor, which they didn't use. They wait until I get home to go outside.
Well, that's
really
good.
But anyway, I open the back door, and neither one of them ran outside. You know what they were waiting for? Me to freaking open that crock pot. And Precious jumps up on, has her paws up on the counter. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Came running back in, pushed the door open. And that's what they wanted. They wanted what was in the crock pot.
Of course. They smelled it all day.
Oh, I know. That must have been torture. Absolutely torture. Yeah, so I just threw some water in it and made a broth and then added a bag of vegetables and said, boom, have that. I'm done. So, but yeah, they were, and so I'm eating and they're just staring at me. And I'm like, fine here. And I end up giving them, I take a bite and they each get a little piece. And I take a bite and they get a little piece. So they end up getting about a quarter of my meal. So I never get a full meal. And so that's why I always put extra. That's what Pat gets so mad at me. He's like, stop feeding them human food. Yeah, whatever. So, but yeah. I was going to say, oh, yeah, so this is going to be an interesting week, I guess.
We got
so
Sleepy
we all
Head
know that.
Lorna on. Our man, Ass Pain.
Hi.
Ass Pain. Hi.
Ass pain is here.
So Miss, yeah, the
Wisconsin. Miss Wisconsin Ass Pain.
So yeah, the FBI is they're really kicking themselves in the ass. the Attorney General or whatever, there's another judge that's refusing to release the affidavit. as to how they got the supposed search warrant, because they said if they release it, there's a possibility, a strong possibility of a civil war. Whatever, pal. You shouldn't have done what
well,
you
like
did.
I said before, and they shouldn't have done it.
Well, yeah, and so the FBI agents that were there, here's the thing. So apparently, because there's a former FBI agent that was on Newsmax, and he said, okay, here's the thing that people need to understand. When you're in the FBI and you get an order that comes down the channel, you cannot refuse to do it. You have to do it. Kind of like being in the military. You get an order to do something, to be deployed or whatever, you have to do it. You can't just say, nah, I'm not going. You have to do it. So even though, and so there's a bunch of the agents that are turning on each other. There were already whistleblowers saying, you know, this is all bullshit. So apparently they got access to the security camera in Mar-a-Lago, and they said, we saw something suspicious in the room. How the fuck did you do that?
Well, that's okay.
They
because Eric Trump has footage that he's just waiting for the right moment to post.
What do you mean?
He's got inside footage. Yes, Eric Trump.
So you think he's the one who did it?
No. He's got inside actual footage of all that took place.
Oh, they were saying that somebody knew about the search warrant before it went out. And they're saying that Eric
as far as his lawyers, now, as far as his lawyers are saying, that's all a farce.
Well, I figured that. I don't think Eric would turn on his dad. I mean, that's ridiculous. But
no,
they're trying their damnedest.
If there was a leak within his family. There's only two people that come to mind with me. That would be Ivanka, and
she's dead.
Or her husband.
Ivanka's dead.
Not Ivanka. Yeah. Or, no,
the
Ivanka's
daughter?
Not dead. Yeah. Their mother
was Ivanka. The mother.
No, Ivana. Ivana was the mother.
Oh, okay. So you really think that she would do that? I think her husband would.
Hey,
or Eric's
ex-wife. I think she's just kidding. No, not. I can tell you right now, neither one of them two.
No, his ex-wife. Did you see at Ivana's funeral? How she pushed... Eric's second wife aside, because she had to be in the limelight. That's why you don't belong there. Well, I mean, you do, but behind the rest of the family. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all bullshit. And I'm telling you, the left doesn't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're asking for. So
no, my whole point. I know we should be discussing this on Thursday night, but my whole point to it all, but my whole point to it all is you got all these judiciary freaking committees and whatnot. Why don't you fucking bring the charges up instead of saying, oh, we've got proof. Bring charges up and start charging these motherfuckers.
Well, they're trying to get an arrest warrant for Trump, and I'm telling you, it's gonna get ugly. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, but it's not gonna go anywhere because he did nothing wrong.
Oh no. No, I know. Yeah, Obama took 30,000 documents when he left. So, anywho, let's go ahead and get on.
Hey, but what?
Tonight.
But what if they're trying to, what if they're trying to set him up for murder for hire for the death of his ex-wife?
Yeah, right.
That's a possibility.
Maybe she
was that's
Clinton's
already crossed
side.
A lot of their minds.
Because they're still,
what?
Aren't they still saying that they think she could have been pushed down them steps?
Yep.
Yeah, but maybe she was Clinton-sized.
Maybe. Hi, everybody.
You never know.
Hey, Phil.
Although the FBI told them to turn off the cameras, but they didn't. They kept letting them go. They let the cameras roll even after the FBI told them to turn it off.
Of course.
Yeah, they don't have a right to tell them to turn it off. But, yeah, everyone's all the friggin' Trump supporters are all down in Florida. They're all down there in Mar-a-Lago, and they know
they're calling for civil war.
Oh, yeah. Well, they arrested one person, I think, today or yesterday for threatening to blow up the FBI building. I said burn the whole system to the ground.
It sounds like one of the guys that I hear on here about, hey, he can take his gun out into the woods and just live off the land.
Yeah. I wish. I swear, if I wasn't nursing, I think I would just go and just go out and just, you know, off the grid. I'm so tired of all the BS. So I thought we'd go over holistic medicine and herbal medicines and all that. Huh?
What the hell is that?
What?
Holistic medicine.
I don't know. You're the doctor.
It's your topic.
Hey, look, I have repeatedly said people give me ideas, or you're going to get some off-the-wall shit every now and then. That's all I got to say. I thought you liked holistic medicine.
I do like holistic medicine, but the problem with it is they're turning it into network, meaning you can't see another doctor unless they're in the network. And so holistic medicine to me is a person's health care where I have, say, a cardiologist, a neurologist, an endocrinologist, and as the primary care, I'm the quarterback, and all of us in a holistic approach are working towards the patient care. Well, they're making it difficult because I'll send a patient to a doctor, and that doctor, he might be a cardiologist, but he needs to make more money, so he starts practicing primary medicine, and I lose patients. They don't come back to me. But I can only send them there because they're the only ones in the network for that insurance. And so the holistic medicine is a fabulous idea, and if you can make it work, it works wonders, although it's being politicized with your insurance companies and these networks, especially these big hospitals. Big hospitals, if you want privilege in their hospitals, you can only refer your patients to their network providers. And sometimes those guys aren't the best pool to send a patient to.
No. My, well, I guess there's another side of holistic medicine of what it originally started out being as to heal the person by considering the mind, body, emotion, and spirit.
That's
it,
nursing.
It's kind of like, huh?
That's nursing. The nurse's approach is mind, body, and spirit, where the MD's approach is head to toe, heat, what they empirically observe.
Okay, well, I'm going to go on. I'm going to read you what I got. I found this one thing on holistic medicine, principles, treatments, and all that. And so what they're saying is it's believed that holistic medicine is an ancient form of healing that started in China and India. And holistic medicine practitioners introduced the healthy way of living by being one with nature. Even the great philosopher Socrates has acknowledged this belief and recommended that healing an individual is a method that should include their whole body. I guess that's the side of holistic that I was talking about. Now, I get what you're saying, you know, with one, you know, with all the doctors cooperating, which it doesn't always happen. We have that issue ourselves, even in hospitals.
Right.
We have primary doctors that shun the idea of hospice, but the patient's terminal and they're extremely close. I mean, we do 6 months to a year, and then once they get on services, they're like, okay, we're done. I'm like, no, you could still be the primary, you know, we have a medical director, but no, there are doctors that they don't like to work with other doctors, you know, unfortunately. So apart from the belief that the whole body plays a vital role in healing a specific part, holistic medicine also holds other principles. So these are just some of them, and whether they're all nursing, I don't know. We're going to find out.
They're not just all nursing, but I believe it originated with Aristotle, I think.
Was he, I think of, well, like in China, we know a lot of, like, look at the Chinese, they use a lot of herbs and essential oils and all that stuff, and so do the Indians in India. That's where a lot of it comes from, but yeah, it came from over there somewhere. The main objective is to achieve optimal health, regardless of the individual's condition. Being able to fully live is still achievable given their physical, mental, and emotional, spiritual, social, and overall health functions that are all well-balanced. A holistic doctor believes in the essence of love. They always try to interact with their patients with the utmost kindness, grace, understanding, and love. Now, I kind of want to argue at that point because not all doctors are like that. So I'm more inclined to think that that's some.
Yeah, but, you know, from the doctor's point of view, when we're considering holistic approach to the patient, when we take
you're cutting out really bad.
You know, their religion, their language, their culture. So that is the mind, body, spirit in a holistic manner. But the doctors are only taking into account those factors, where a lot of times the holistic approach of the nurse, there's more of an empathetic approach to it, where the nurse actually understands, like, for example, what the Christian beliefs are or what the Muslim beliefs are, where the doctor just respects the belief of the person, not necessarily taken into account, because the doctor's going to treat that patient the best way that they know, regardless of their beliefs, and the patient can take it or not.
True.
It's kind of weird, but not all new generation of doctors are becoming more like, you know, because most of them now are trained by nurses, like especially the RNs in the hospitals. So the doctors their mindset has changed from the doctors of about 10 years ago.
And see, like, what would you say the percentage is? The nurses deal with the patient 95% of the time, the doctors the other 5%? If that,
I agree. Yep.
Okay.
That's correct.
I mean, like, we now depending on with nursing, it depends if they're in the hospital or if it's home health or hospice. When they're a different, completely different culture than what the nurse is, or at least I know I try to learn about cultural aspects of them when the patient passes. And to what you're allowed to do and what you need to do when they pass. Like, for instance, the Japanese, I believe it's Japanese. You have, when someone dies, especially at home, you have to put them all in white. Doesn't matter if it's a white gown, white shirt, white pants, whatever. And you have to leave them alone. I can't remember the set amount of time. And that's their culture. You have to do that for them. And so it's important to understand those. And when a Jewish person passes, you have to turn their head to where it's facing, I don't know if it's east or west, I can't remember. But, yeah, each culture, it's an insult if you don't do it. So it is important to know who you're taking care of, you know.
Sure.
The whole body's the main target. Holistic medicine practitioners highly believe that the body parts are interconnected, of course, which means that if one is damaged, the whole body is affected, which is homeostasis in the body. You have a heart problem, it's going to affect other parts of the body. So, and that's another big thing. Holistic treatments include preventative measures. Practitioners aim to relieve the patient by managing the symptoms of a disease and preventing other factors to make it worse, which is why we do preventative medicine, or we try to keep them from being admitted to the hospital. And sometimes in the hospital, their condition can get worse only because they're stuck in bed. They're not allowed to get up, depending on what they're in there for, and they're stuck. And a lot of our elderly patients actually get sicker and worn down faster while they're in the hospital. And it takes them longer to recuperate once they get home. So holistic doctors and nurses may use different methods to treat a patient. They may even use medication together with various holistic approaches. So the relationship between the doctor, the nurse, and the patient plays an important part in the healing process. Unique care for each patient. Holistic medicine practitioners care for their patients according. And, you know, honestly, I think that a lot of this is just common sense and what actual doctors do, not just holistic practitioners do. They go according to their needs and the illness. So you're not going to treat someone for high blood pressure if they don't have that. You want to treat them for what their actual problem is. And hopefully, no. Sorry, Mike. Uh-oh.
Well, yeah.
Hold on a second.
Yeah,
my work.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. My work phone is going off with messages, and hold on. I had a lot of issues with patients today, and damn it. I'm not on call, but I still got to take care of. Well, I guess I'm not going to get those messages. We have a new system, and I hate it.
You know what I think holistic medicine is. Just
yep.
In retrospect, I think holistic medicine combines traditional medicine with functional medicine, and it takes. Like the cultures and the beliefs and, you know, everything into consideration when it comes to the patient. Because the patient's not a disease or diagnosis. It's a person. And you have to consider everything about that person when they come to you for help. Not just what some book or says. I mean, two questions I always have, and I think these are philosophical, but... would you prefer an asshole, rude, smart, intelligent doctor versus a very nice, kind, loving provider that has to use Google to help make his diagnosis? Which one would you rather have, the asshole or the nice guy? And you, believe me, some people would prefer the nice guy.
I do. Actually,
but if you were dying.
Well, here's the thing. That's true. But here's the thing. If they're honest with you, then okay, I'll take the asshole doctor. But listen to what I got to say. Don't just assume that, you know what I'm saying? If some doctors, because here's the thing what irritates me. I know I'm overweight. I know this for a fact. But I don't need to be reminded, well, if you lose weight, you might not have headaches. What the freaking hell does that got to do with anything? You know, and so a lot of doctors don't listen to that. They're just going to naturally assume that this is why you have this problem, this way you have that problem. Or, like, if you have back problems, well, if you lose weight, you might have, your back wouldn't hurt. But if a woman has large breasts, that's a good reason why she's got a back problem.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So it's naturally
always look
assumed.
At the breast. Always look at the breast.
You are.
And back pain.
Yo.
No, seriously.
Well,
Especially in the younger generation, they're out there trying to jog and exercise, running track. They're not wearing support bras, and they're complaining of thoracic pain. On the other thing to consider too is these kids are wearing backpacks, and these backpacks are pulling down on their back and causing some pains that they don't even realize the mechanics of it.
Oh yeah.
You know? I've got guys coming in with sciatica, and they don't realize it's because they've been sitting on their wallet for 18 years.
Have you noticed something else, how kids carry their backpacks? They carry them on one shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Some of them do. They carry it on their
non-dominant shoulder so they can keep their eye in their phone while they're texting.
True. That's very true.
I have a lot of kids that are coming in with the Quervain's tenosynovitis, you know, just inflammation of the thumb and the tendons of the thumb because of playing video games, and they don't even realize that it's causing that.
Oh, hey, is that why my thumbs hurt when I own my phone playing games? My thumbs, oh my God. I play a lot of memory games. I actually play like Mahjong and some of these puzzle games. And so, yeah, my thumb, and when I hold my phone, my thumb is what I use predominantly to play the game. And so I have to actually stop because my damn thumbs are numb.
You got the numb thumb.
Maybe. My numb thumbs, yeah. Yeah, after a while, your brain goes numb and you get tired of playing. But
you know, the positive thing about that is that also is therapeutic for carpal tunnel.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
Oh, totally because... off the subject.
Sorry.
No, my shoulder. I was just going to ask you this before I forget. Sitting on my couch, on my chair, watching TV, and I know I've got that 30-40% tear to the rotator cuff, but I'm just sitting here minding my own business, right? And all of a sudden, I felt a sharp pain in my shoulder. When I say sharp, I swear to God, it felt like a hot poker got rammed into my shoulder. I could not move my arm for like hours, and now I have no pain.
Yay!
Could I possibly have tore the rotator cuff the rest of the way?
Can you lift your arm over your head?
Yeah, but I can feel the bone spur though. But
yeah,
I can't lift my arm.
Two questions: can you fix your ponytail?
Well, I don't have a ponytail. I don't have long enough hair.
Well,
but
if you did,
anyway,
imagine. And the other question is can you fix your bra strap behind your back? You can do both of those things. You didn't tear it.
No, I cannot do that.
But you can put your
That's
hands back there, though, right?
No. I cannot put this my right arm behind my back. Cannot.
And is it because of pain or because of some other reason? Is it because it's too painful to do it?
Actually, yes, it's too painful.
Okay, and was it like that before you felt that pop, the same thing, or did that get worse?
No. Oh, no, it's worse. That's why I was wondering if I tore the rotator cuff completely, if I just, it was just out of the blue. Sharp pain, I couldn't even touch my shoulder. And then now it's like,
Was it, I don't remember, but was it the supraspinatus?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So what you got to do is educate yourself on what motions are controlled by the supraspinatus, and if you have motion, it's not completely torn. If it was completely torn, the muscle would retract, you'd have a big lump somewhere, and you wouldn't be able to move that shoulder. You'd be in a serious amount of pain.
Oh, they told me I had a
400-pound guy. He's like 450 pounds. He was getting into a pickup truck, and he grabbed that little handrail to pull himself up into the truck, and he completely ruptured his bicep muscle from his own weight. And I'm like, wow, had never seen that one before.
Ouch.
So, yeah, so you may have torn it some more, or maybe there's a lot of different possibilities. I mean, even an arterial occlusion, ischemia, just a temporary, you know, where your blood got cut, you know. So it's hard to other situations, and I learned this from a chiropractor who happens to also be a neurologist. A lot of people with PTSD end up with a cockhead syndrome, where when they're watching TV or they're watching something, their head always has a little tilt to it. And that kind of throws them off balance, and they're used to seeing the world straight-up view, even though their head is tilted. And it's just such a slight tilt. And the therapy behind it, start getting the head straight and forcing yourself to watch TV with your head straight, and it repairs a lot of the damage. You can have pinched nerves from it. You can have headaches. You can have neck pain. But you don't realize it because of your body habitus. Check it out. If you notice yourself always like leaning your head slightly to watch TV and you're having neck pains or headaches, try to straighten your head out when you're watching TV and, you know, think about
it. I will say, but also, I don't know how much this wants to, and you know, like when people want to do things, when I say holistic, I could also like naturally do things.
That's naturopathic or functional.
Like, instead of taking medications, people will use herbs and essential oils.
That's called naturopathic. Naturopathic medication. And
that's me. I'll find any other way, but going to the doctor.
Well, you combine the natural with, you know, the regular standard medication, and we call that functional medication. We call that functional medicine. When you take that functional medicine and you tie it into the spiritual world, you start calling that a holistic approach. And all holistic means is taking into consideration everything, which is very difficult.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
It is. Now, see.
Well, first of all, your patient isn't going to tell you everything.
No, they're not. Who would trust me? They lie, and you know they're lying, but you're not going to call them out on it. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to call them out on it. And honestly, that's why I like having, like, for patients that I have, that their family is there or a caregiver, or if they're in a facility, I will ask the patient all of the questions. When was your last bowel movement? Are you in any pain? Can you feed yourself? How was your appetite? And a lot of times I get, good. Yeah, I drink lots of water. I eat all my food and blah, blah, blah. And the family's sitting behind them shaking their head. No. You know, so it's like sometimes you have to call them out and sometimes you don't. You just let them go with it. And then I chart. They don't need to know that I charted that, I know you're not doing this, this, and this, but, you know. And all we could do is suggest. When a doctor gives us orders, I tell the patient whether or not they do it, that's all up onto them. But my point was a lot of people don't like taking medication. And honestly, I will be the first to admit now, I now understand the whole herbal essential oil. I understand that whole approach now. Before, I wouldn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
you know, I think that everyone should be educated in, like, schools, like elementary, even high schools, about naturopathic medication, things like that, about natural things, like for headaches. And because medicine, not a right, a privilege. And if you don't have the money, you don't get the medicine. And that's the problem.
True.
So old witch doctors and things like that, especially here on the border, the Hispanic cultures, they believe in these things called curanderas or witch doctors for healing, and they use a lot of natural remedies.
Well, see,
so,
here's the thing. If you have to be on a medication for something, by all means, do it. If you have access to it, do it. Like, where I was going to say that nortriptyline they put me on for my preventative migraine, I am totally astonished how amazing it works. Okay. Other medications, I was on 21 medications last year or 2 years ago. And I said, you know what, I'm done with it. I'm so sick of being on all this medicine. And I got myself off a lot of them. I only have like 5 medications now that I have to take.
I got patients that I'm still teaching my supervising physician. Okay, my supervising physician will see a patient one day, and she, you know, bless her heart, she's practicing naturopathic functional medicine. So a patient will come in with high triglycerides. Okay, well, they don't have a diet high in fish. Okay, omega-3. Then the next time they come, okay, vitamin D. Then the next time they come, okay, calcium. Okay, B12. Next thing you know, your patient is taking a bowl of cereal of pills once or twice a day. And I'm telling her, just get the patient to take a multivitamin with minerals that include all of those things, and you can reduce it down to 2 caplets twice a day. And so on top of those other medications, the other problem is a lot of insurance companies do not cover micronutrient testing. So it's hard to find the underlying cause of a lot of illness. Something as simple as a vitamin D deficiency can cause high blood pressure. When they can't figure out what's causing it, if it's not coming from the kidneys and it's not coming from the adrenal glands, then it's got to be, we don't know, we call that essential hypertension. So, oh, yeah, really? Okay, well, what if it's a vitamin D deficiency causing it? Well, we do routinely test for vitamin D. Most people are low.
Yep, I have chronic low vitamin D, and that's why I'm on it every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
but,
sodium retention. You leave salt alone, and your blood pressure goes down. Just leave salt alone. But, you know.
Well, not only that, you could get rid of all your lunch meat.
Your chips. Yeah, any kind of processed meats are full of sodium. Yeah, they're very high in sodium.
Yeah. I mean,
even your Gatorades and things like that, everybody thinks Gatorade's healthy. I don't.
Oh, no. I'll drink the sugar-free Powerade or sugar-free Gatorade, but I look at the back. I've started looking at even the waters and all of that. I'm like, yeah, that's got to go there. But predominantly, I put out, and I say 99%, because yes, I will occasionally eat Fritos, or because they're corn chips, I can't eat any, and I shouldn't be eating anything with wheat, barley, and rye. But 99% of all the junk I've cut out of my diet, even sweets. Yes, I will occasionally eat a little pack of M&Ms. And I think I've had two packs the whole year, which is an amazing feat for me. I'm a sugar addict, and I gave up sugar. So if there's no sugar in my coffee creamer, I don't get it. Because now I no longer use sugar with my coffee creamer. And so
another big major medical issue that we have to deal with, and we can't fix it, so we do have to throw medications at it sometimes, is people's circadian rhythms. When their circadian rhythms get out of whack, your body gets out of whack. It's like having jet lag.
Oh, okay.
Your body's not used to the changes in the time. So, for example, you're working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. You get into this rhythm, but your body needs to have these different breaks. And it's twice a day where it's going to be high and twice a day where it's going to be low. And once your body gets into that natural rhythm, it gets healthy. You start interrupting your rhythms, it becomes unhealthy. Your body's trying to tell you something. Hey, chill out. But we can't do it. We got to work. We got to live. And all the stresses that we have in life, fuel prices, politics, everything that stresses us out, stress is a major source of inflammation. Inflammation is the major source of unhealthiness.
And
our gut. We do not take care of our gut, and our gut is the – it's almost everything. If you have a leaky gut, you can have all kinds of problems, and it leads to other problems. Fixing the underlying problems is always the best thing to do, but it's not always a viable option because of the way society is.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. You know.
Right,
you
exactly.
You've got to find what's wrong. And that's why we try to, like, when we have – now, when someone is on hospice, they need the pain meds, depending on what it is. Trust me, I got some 80, 90-year-olds who says, I'll take Tylenol. And I'm like, are you sure you're not in pain? Nope, never taking anything, and I'm not going to start taking it now. Why should I? Okay.
That's true.
More power to you. Exactly, but here's the thing. Dying is painful.
Dying
everything
is painful.
Everything starts to shut down. And so eventually they do turn to the morphine and whatnot, you know, because it is. Cancer is very painful.
Well, you know, that's good, though. That's really good because I'll tell you why. Because if you stub your freaking toe and you expect the doctor to give you tramadol, hydrocodone, or codeine, and your body gets used to that, when you really do need those medications for your end-of-life pain, you have such tolerance, they don't work. They don't work.
Exactly. And see, and that's another thing I hate. Now, I don't know about you. I don't think you do it, but throwing antibiotics at everything. Oh, I get a sniffle.
Nope.
Oh, here's a Z-Pack. Oh, I can't stand it. I call my mom Bubonic Bonnie. She would be the next plague. Anything. I'm like, Mom, vitamin C, plenty of fluids, you know, you can get rid of a sinus infection without antibiotics. Don't get me wrong. Once you get to a certain point, if you can't get that way, then yes, you do need antibiotics. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the truth is you're going to get rid of it anyway, whether you take antibiotics or not, because the antibiotics only speed it up. Your body's still fighting it, and eventually you'll overcome it without the antibiotics. The antibiotics just speed up the healing process by killing the bacteria, and it also causes some bacterial resistance in the long run. But so there you go. A lot of people won't even complete the entire course of the antibiotics, and that's the problem.
And they
I had a doctor when I first started practicing, a doctor's training me. Guy comes in, says, I want a shot of Rocephin and I want a Z-Pack. He said, and I'm the one that's seeing it. I'm like, well, no, you have nasopharyngitis. You have the common cold. Most common cause of the common cold is a virus. You don't need antibiotics. That's what I want. Well, my supervising doctor comes in and says, no, we give this patient what he wants so he'll come back. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, what do? You're like a student training and you're hearing this. But that's not what the medical literature teaches you.
Exactly. Like a lot of UTIs, depending on the age and the person's overall health, I can get rid of a UTI with drinking cranberry juice, the azo that you can get over the counter, it's like Peridium, and water.
Or Alka-Seltzer.
I ain't doing that shit. Nope, I've done it once for a cold. I ain't doing it again.
No,
I'm
just talking. I'm talking about sodium bicarbonate. It's a base. It reduces the acid. You reduce the acid,
no,
it kills the bacteria. You know what happens when you give them antibiotics? It kills all the good bacteria, and now the fungus starts growing. They get yeast infections. And then you got to treat that.
That's why 9 times out of 10, when a woman goes, they give them Diclofenac and antibiotics because they know what's going to happen. But I try not to do it. I just try to treat it with water. You're getting lots of water and cranberry juice, and that's it. I try not to do, you know. But the other thing is, when we drink cranberry juice, drink. I know it's hard because sometimes cranberry juice is tart. When you start getting into cranberry juice cocktail, it has all the other fruits in it, and it's the main thing is the cranberry juice. And that's why not cran apple, cran grape, and zero.
Well, you know they have a capsule, cranberry capsule now.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, that juice is tart. A lot of people don't like it. It's like drinking castor oil.
Yeah. But if you think about how much, like, old wives' tales, not wives' tales, but, like, you know, all those, especially in West Virginia and in the mountains, they got a cure for something. They got,
You're going to rub the bullfrog ass on your butt, and then when it licks it, it's all better. But, you know, those old wives' tales actually wouldn't lead to medicine a lot of times. I like to experiment with them.
I don't do it. If you get an earache, they're like, oh, pee in your ear. Well, one, if I could pee in my ear, that's an amazing feat in itself. You're like, no, pee in a cup and pour it in your ear and it'll get rid of the ear infection. No thanks. I choose medicine for that one.
They say pee on the jellyfish sting. Or put the tobacco on it. That's one. What the Hispanics believe, like the Mexican people from like the Aztec type of, but they still have this carry the belief. If you get an ear infection, you make a cone. Like a ice cream cone out of a paper.
Yeah.
You put the little pointy part in your ear, and you light the other end on fire, and that heat sucks out all the bacteria. And that's the treatment that they use.
Yeah. People still use that. You can actually buy that stuff over the counter now to do
that. And
the
theory of it makes sense, but it's also kind of dangerous, you know?
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, but if it works,
now,
yeah, use it.
Now, like one that I know of that works really well for if you get strep throat, yes, it's very contagious. But I learned this because my first ex-husband, was super cheap, and the bastard would not go to the doctor to save his life. So he would gargle with Listerine and peroxide together. Not separately, he would do it together, and that's how he got rid of his strep throat.
Yeah.
Now,
well, was it strep or was it just a pharyngitis? Because the problem with strep is the complications that happen after the sore throat. Like, for example, you can get post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis. Kids can develop junior onset arthritis, reactive arthritis. So strep, if it's truly strep, then you really want to treat that aggressively. If it's just a viral pharyngitis, hell, you can suck on acetylcholine, swallow lemons, drink tequila. Eventually, it's going to go away on its own anyway. It'll stop the pain.
Hey, Dr. Phil.
Mm-hmm.
My friend has a question. My friend Jamie has a question for you.
Go ahead, shoot.
So I got this question. I developed this condition called dyshidrotic eczema on my hand.
Very dry and cracked hands. I'm very familiar with it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's really awful. And and I don't want the steroid creams and the other weird ointment they gave me makes me feel really awful. I would really just like a more holistic, natural way to get rid of this. I know stress makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And moisture, and I wear gloves at work. So, you know, we have to wear anti-cut gloves dipped in that polyurethane.
Yeah.
So,
well, that gloves that probably have a lot to do with it, do you think?
I think so, yeah. I tried
now,
the cotton gloves.
Do you have any autoimmune conditions that you're aware of?
I don't, but they do run in my family.
Okay. Well, what I would recommend, something very natural, not necessarily natural. First of all, if your hands do tend to, you know, you get anxious and they sweat and then they dry, then they sweat and they dry. That's what causes the cracking. It's kind of like when we get chapped lips, you know. Our lips get chapped because they get wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, especially in the cold.
The same thing with the hands.
Oh, they do. And wearing those gloves, rubber polyurethane on the skin actually burns the skin. It heats it up. And so,
yeah, I get little blisters under the skin.
Yeah.
They pop and they itch, and it's just a cycle. Then it goes away, and my skin's all dry on top because it dies because the blisters are under there.
One thing you can do is wear deodorant on your hands.
Hey, and then think of that, because I tried cotton gloves to wick moisture away and to protect them.
Yeah, deodorant is one. And the other thing is if you can wear the cotton gloves, great. But you can also, I hate to say this, is put a baby powder in the glove that you're wearing to help to minimize the contact of the skin on the polyurethane, because it
and
will heat up your skin.
Yeah, that makes sense. You can get talc-free.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. Just a talcum powder, a baby powder inside the glove, and wearing deodorant on your hands to help them from sweating or help from moisture buildup will help reduce your symptoms. I hope that helps.
Will it stop those blisters from forming?
Just put sperm on it.
I honestly don't know if the blisters generally are probably you're having a contact allergy with the polyurethane, you know, because the blisters aren't really typical in the dyshidrosis. It's the drying and the cracking of the dermis that's more common with
right.
it. So the blisters are most likely a contact allergy that you're having. So I can't say yes or no in that regard without like doing some tests, but
right.
blisters could also be viral associated as well, and so it's kind of hard for me to diagnose that. But if it's actually like a blister, then assume without any other etiology, you're getting burned. It's something is burning your skin, and it's most likely contact with a rubber product.
So probably nitrile gloves wouldn't make it any better either, is my guess.
No, nitrile would with powder. You have to have the powdered versions of them because, first of all, when you put your hands in those, they're not getting oxygen, right? Because
right.
it completely cuts off the oxygen to the skin. And
mm-hmm.
so when they sweat, and then they heat up, and then they dry,
yep.
and then they sweat, and they dry. They're going to become basically what we call chap. To prevent it,
yeah.
you got to keep them dry. Two ways, deodorant. Second way, something as simple as Vaseline.
And lots of sperm.
And Bobby's sperm.
Whatever.
But only Bobby's sperm will work if you can get it out of him.
Only Bobby's sperm work. Got it. I'll write that down in my little book of notes.
Yeah, because, you know, as soon as you grab that thing, you're going to pull that petroleum jelly right off of it anyway, so you'll get your Vaseline right there, right?
Right, right. That's hilarious. Yeah, they itch like a bugger, too. I mean, the itching's incredible.
You know, you also should be tested for scleroderma, especially if you notice you have, like, your eyes are dry, your mouth is dry, your skin is dry. You know, that's one thing to test for. You need to check an anti-nuclear antibody to make sure that you don't have an autoimmune condition such as scleroderma. Another one is called Krebs syndrome.
My aunt had that.
The scleroderma, yeah. Lupus can cause it, too. So,
she had rheumatoid arthritis too bad.
Yeah, rheumatoid is definitely autoimmune, but it's not necessarily genetic. But you definitely want to do some further testing to evaluate that. But there are naturopathic ways to try to minimize your symptoms.
Right. I've been dealing with this for months.
Yeah, and the Colonel, she's got a book of a lot of natural medications, like, you know, herbs and spices. Maybe she can come up with something that can help you out there, too.
All right. Well, thank you. I really appreciate your time and your advice.
You're very welcome. I'll send some more information to Colonel, and she can pass it on to you because I'm not sure how to get a hold of you.
Sounds great. Yeah, well, she's staying with me right now at my house. So.
Yeah, I'm staying in Wisconsin at Jamie's house, so you can send the information to me.
In Wisconsin?
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
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 Okay, what am I, hold on. What am I doing? What's my name?
No.
What personality am I on today?
Come on, ask Wilson. what was I looking up? I'm sorry, I was trying to steal my work, some messages while you were telling her. What?
Bill.
Yeah.
What was it called again?
Man, I'm completely lost track right now. I don't even know. How to lose a guy?
Jamie,
how to lose a guy in 10 dates?
Kinda, yeah, it's close to that. It's called dyshidronic eczema.
For her hand condition.
Yeah, put your sperm on your eczema. That's the first way to lose a guy in 10 dates.
Well, I certainly don't have any sperm. I'm female, but.
Okay, so
this is something
I've got.
dyshidronic eczema.
Also known as dyshidrosis.
Got it.
There you go.
Dyshidrosis.
I got
you. Yep.
Hold on. So, that's not the right page. Oh, wrong page. No wonder I'm lost. I'm looking at the wrong freaking page. Okay. There's three things that they recommend for eczema in general. If I can find this stupid page.
Yeah, a gluten-free diet's the first thing.
Oh,
okay, well, that's it.
Gluten-free, huh? I wondered if this isn't a sign of a GI or other internal issues.
Well, if you're going to do a gluten-free diet, let me tell you something. It's very hard. It's not impossible. I have to do gluten-free. It's not impossible, but it just requires a little extra work. Like no wheat,
right.
Barley, or rye, which means no pasta, no bread. And they do make gluten-free bread, which is, like, expensive, which will indeed make you stop eating bread in general. but I eat soy bread. I eat soy bread, which it's not too expensive, and it actually tastes pretty good. But what they recommend is black seed oil, and it's an anti-inflammatory, and it helps act as an anti-inflammatory, and detoxifying effects can help treat arthritis, rheumatic conditions, and can relieve symptoms in case of allergic rhinitis, eczema, and asthma. It also contains GLA or gamma linoleic acid, which has been also shown to reduce pain with diabetic neuropathy.
Yeah.
So
is that like gabapentin? Is that like gabapentin?
No, gabapentin's for neuropathy. But gabapentin's also an anti-epilepsy medication. So gabapentin has several uses, but most commonly diabetic neuropathy is where it does tend to help.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they gave me this tacrolimus ointment, and I took it 3 times and stopped because it gave me horrible headaches.
But I'll take a screenshot of this page. And then the other thing is cabbage. They say cabbage helps with eczema, and I will go there to that page and look real quick. Literally, this is
so
the best
you,
book
so
I ever bought.
So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? You wrap your hands in cabbage and put them in the gloves?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'll put the cabbage in the gloves of the hands. My coworkers will love me. It's just cute little sourdough. I'll just toss some sauerkraut in there.
Okay, hold on. Let me. 52. Thank God it. I haven't used this book in so long, and I used to know exactly what page to flip to. And now I'm like, okay. So let's see.
I researched about it because it's a specific type of eczema that only happens on your hands and your bottom of your feet. On the palm of your hands or in between your fingers.
Yeah, it can be really, and then you get secondary infections. It's no fun, but you definitely need to rule out an autoimmune condition.
So I should probably see a dermatologist,
No, just see your primary doctor, and he can do those testing, and he can also test you for the polyurethane allergy as well.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. She gave me a dermatology referral.
Okay. Well, that's great.
As far as I got with her. Right. A spermatology. That's it.
But, yogurt is another thing that it helps. It helps strengthen your immune system. It lowers your blood pressure and soothes upset stomach and bowel upset. So it's also good. But like I said, I'll take a screenshot of the 3 pages. And anything else, if anybody has any questions about any food, just let me know, and I'll take a picture of it. Or you can go. It's put out by Discover. It's DK. It's Discover More at DK.com, and it's called Healing Food.
Well, do yourself a favor, and when you go to Google, type in advanced search, and then hit enter.
Oh.
Get on Google advanced search, and only look up scholarly articles. Because you don't want to get articles about underwater basket weaving.
Right.
In regards to your health. You definitely want to have a good source for the article you're reviewing. That is what we call, I can't think of it right now. I already forget it. Anyway, pick a good choice for the article that you're picking. I just sent you one, Colonel. I sent you a link. Maybe that can help out too. It suggests apple cider vinegar, coconut oil, tea tree oil, colloidal oatmeals, honey. So you have to avoid soaps and detergents and heats and things that are going to make your hands even more dry.
I know. My doctor said use hand sanitizer to wash my hands with, not soap.
No, that's the wrong thing to do. Hell no. There's too much alcohol.
Yes, you
have
better
alcohol takes the moisture out of things.
Right.
Yeah, your doctor is probably not not thinking right. So no offense, he's probably a good doctor, don't get me wrong, but He might be recommending hand sanitizers that are not alcohol-based. If that's the case, then maybe yes.
I switched to showering every other day to avoid soap because my shampoos and everything, you know, body wash. And
you know, and that's why we and when we do nursing, a lot of our elderly, they don't get a bath every single day.
No, it's bad for your skin and stuff.
It dries their skin out. And so it's really harsh.
Yeah, and I'm not going to wear gloves in the shower. I mean, that's...
You know, the people who don't bath every day and they have very oily skin actually age slower in regards to the skin. The skin is a lot more healthy. So let's say you take a shower every other
every
day.
Every other day.
When you were a kid, you would take a shower once a week if you're lucky. Bobby takes showers on Tuesdays. But you know, having all that oily skin and all those pimples you're dealing with as a kid, it comes back and pays dividends later on in life. You don't get your skin doesn't age as fast when you're always constantly removing the oils from the skin.
Right.
And you got that wrong. Right. Bobby does his showers first Tuesday of every month.
Oh, the first Tuesday of every month. Oh, okay. Yep.
Then he rinses off with his
Now, you don't get very many dates and you smell like crap, but, you know, you look young.
No, I don't go that long. I cut back to every other day because this started in March with my hands. Started out as a small spot and gradually got bigger, and then I got two on my other hand.
What do you do? What's your job? What do you have to wear those gloves for?
I work at Polaris, and I build clutches. And so we handle metal parts. I build the clutches, and so it's mandatory we wear those so we don't cut our hands.
Yeah,
they're protective gloves, They need to be worn. I wouldn't work without them.
And if you had a doctor's excuse, wouldn't they let you wear like a cloth, leather-based, you know, glove?
No, they have to be the anti-cut. They have to be the ones they issue. And I explained the situation to the gal there, and she's like, well, our policy is that, we have night trial gloves for you to wear under the anti-cut gloves. And I told her that actually is worse because I'm not getting any air and more wet. It's not going well.
FYI, my opinion, Polaris sucks ass. I hate that place. I would never buy a Polaris of anything.
I've got go karts, and all the Polaris go karts I've seen are after like two or three rides, they're in the shop. I mean, they're just horrible, horrible. I don't know what else. Maybe the golf carts are great or something. Who knows?
When I worked there,
no offense, but if you're in a union. Talk to your union rep and say, hey, look, I think I have an allergy that's causing this to my hands. I need an alternative, or can you find another position for me in the company?
Yeah, we don't have another alternative. The alternative is wearing nitrile gloves underneath the anti-cut gloves.
Then
that's
you possibly want to, then for the benefit of your health, you may want to just find another position somewhere.
That's what I told her. Get a different job.
Easier said than done. I know. I understand. People have to work. But, you know, your health is important, too. And if you ruin your hands, then you're not going to be able to work.
Yep.
You know, I
have different positions there where I don't have to wear gloves. And they always say, we got someone more qualified. And then they hire someone with definitely not qualified. I'm like, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, just keep in mind. But keep in mind, kiddo, the hands are one of the most sensitive things that we have. And, you know, they help us with our quality of life, our activities of daily living. And without the hands, there's a lot of suffering. And so if this job is hurting your hands, in the long run, that company doesn't give a shit about you. And so you might want to just reconsider finding something that suits your personal health a lot better. I'm not telling you to quit your job tomorrow. I'm saying look for something to replace what you got going now.
You're right.
Yeah. I can't quit a job unless I already have one lined up.
Right. Oh, no, yeah. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I got a home to pay for, rent and bills.
Sure.
But...
Well, you know,
no,
no offense. I'm not materialistic. I could lose the home. I could lose all the bills. I could go into debt. But when it comes to my health, I need to take care of that because my body is my temple. And
right.
I can always get another home. I can always get all the things that I've lost. I can do that if I lose it all. I'm not going to ruin my hands because I'm afraid of losing something that I can always get back later. But I understand your concern, and that's just philosophical, that's all.
No, that makes sense. I understand that. I appreciate that.
Sure.
It's like with nursing, we have to wear gloves before we touch a patient.
Right.
I always put gloves on when I do medications. I don't know about you, but I don't want everybody's hands touching my medicine because I got to take it.
Right.
And so we, you know, before you wash your hands, before you put your gloves on, you got to wash your hands. Put the gloves on.
Right.
You take them off, you got to wash your hands again. And lot of medical professionals, our hands are cracked and dried. And thank God I can just, you know, it's only however many patients I have in a day. I go in and do whatever. And there are different types of gloves to wear, too. We have at our company, they're gloves made out of it's an oatmeal based glove, and it's for extremely sensitive skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to get a picture and I'll send it to Lorna on the brand, and they're green, but they might actually help. I mean, because it's specifically for people with sensitive skin. Because of what the gloves are made out of.
Yeah, that's something about an oatmeal bath, trying, because, I mean, I've, since March, looked up all kinds of different remedies for this, and I don't want to be on steroid. I said absolutely no, I don't want to be on prednisone. I won't take it. It's terrible. And then that other ointment, awful. So I just am looking up natural things.
Well, you know that your dyshidrosis, is, like I said, is most likely secondary to atopic dermatitis, and it's wearing the gloves. It only started about 6 months ago, and it's associated with the job that you have. So you have a contact allergy or contact dermatitis, and so that is what you have to treat, not the dyshidrosis. So I don't think it's autoimmune. I think it's more going on. And I think that you already know that. I'm going to share something else with Colonel, and she can pass on to you guys, too. This is a really, really good article about foods for people who have eczema.
Ooh.
Hold on. I'm going to take a picture of this glove, and you can get these. She can get them at Medline. I don't want to record a video, damn it. I want to take a picture. I just want to take a picture.
But like I said, you can wear deodorant on your hands, and that will create a barrier between your hands and the glove. It's the direct contact of the glove to the hand, I believe, that's causing your problem. And the other thing is,
deodorant?
Yep.
Can I use
the other thing
clear
is putting a talcum. I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
She wants to know if there's a specific kind of deodorant that works better.
Clear powder.
Spray.
I like the powders. I like the powders. That's me. But, you know, like Secret. I think it's a great one. Spray on Secret. Strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. I wear Secret once in a while too. So I don't give a shit. And it makes me smell like, it makes me smell like a powdery baby, and girls love it.
That's just the feminine side of you coming out.
Lorna.
So,
I just
Hey, come on. Aren't you guys woke? We're no longer binary anymore.
I'm not gay anymore.
Lorna.
Yeah.
I just put a picture of the glove on in one of the chat rooms.
Got it.
They're
see
from
it.
Medline. Yeah, it should be there in a second. Because you know how slow it works. Yeah. That's just one brand. But that's on Medline. Okay. Just go on medline.com or type up oatmeal gloves and they'll have, but Medline's pretty cheap. And anybody could get any medical supplies. Well, let me rephrase that. There are things that you cannot get unless you're in the medical field and have a license, and that's your suture kit and whatnot, but gloves and basic bandages and all that. Anybody could go on to Medline or
gloves and masks.
Yeah.
Well,
a few other companies.
That might give her a better incentive to finish up her medical school.
Well, I'm trying to get Colonel to go to PA school, but you know, it's a work in progress.
No, I can't. The dream was shot down. Hospice does not use PAs; they use nurse practitioners.
No, not to be a hospice nurse anymore. To become a PA and help people, so they don't have to end up in hospice.
Everybody ends up in hospice eventually, unless you die of a massive heart attack.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Hey, my grandpa died in his sleep. He was still holding the steering wheel.
Well, okay, there are a few exceptions to that, but a lot of people end up on hospice. You know, they know about it ahead of time.
Well, if you think about it, you want to try to treat and prevent a patient in their early years, in their formative years, to prevent them getting to that point. Because you want everyone to live to a ripe old age and die of natural causes, right? That's the hope?
No.
Sure.
I don't want to live a ripe old age. I'm done. I could go tomorrow and I wouldn't care.
You know, Lorna, you're not the only one. I'm like, you know what? It's become a daily thing. All right, Lord, you could come back and get us anytime. I am ready to go.
You sound like Phil Sanford.
There's a lot more business going on in the world. Oh.
You sound like Fred Sanford. Ethel, I'm coming.
But no, it's like every day is something new. It's like, that's it. I want off this ride. Stop the ride.
Yep.
I want off. You know, it's weird things like, oh, they dug up a 10,000-year-old mummy and we're going to open the box. No. They found this little puzzle box, and I guess it looks exactly like the one that's in Hellbound Hellraiser. You know those movies?
Oh!
They found a puzzle box that looks identical to that. And all I can say is Pandora's box.
Pandora's box.
Who the hell started this monotonous game of Jumanji, and now they've opened Pandora's box? And it's like they're finding, I'm like, did we not learn from the first or the last 2.5 years? And so, it's getting old pretty damn quick.
Well, you know what you do? What you do, Kimberly, is you just get somebody who doesn't want to live forever to open the box. They don't give a fuck whether they die or not. Open it. Let's see what's in it. But we're going to the other room.
No, it's like they're talking about making dinosaurs from the dinosaur DNA. Did you not watch the first 5 Jurassic Park movies? No. Don't do it. It's like, I can tell you, they're just, it's like, you know what? Did you see somebody made a meme? It says, an alien abduction at this point is looked at more like a vacation.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, just beam me up. I'm just like, wow. I just shake my head now. It's like, wow.
Well, you know, it takes forward thinkers, though, to have these advances in medicine that, you know, that happen. For example, you know, preserving the umbilical blood that has a lot of the stem cells in it just for your own personal treatment later on in life, it's a thought. And right now we're doing stem cell treatments with plasma-rich protein. I will take out your blood, spin it down, and take out it's a platelet-rich plasma, and I will inject it into your knee joint, and your knee joint will actually start reforming cartilage, which has been impossible in the past. So a lot of that does lead to medical breakthroughs that, you know, are helping people live more comfortable lives, not necessarily longer lives, but more comfortable lives.
Jamie says good night and thank you. She's going to bed.
Yeah, tell her to wash her ass, but leave her hands dry.
Did you hear that? Say that again, Phil.
I said wash the cum off her ass from Bobby, but to leave her hands dry.
Will do.
Good night, Jamie.
Did you find
football?
Yeah, you know.
You don't play Connect Four? Where's it at?
But like I was saying about all of the different herbal medicines and things like that, because unfortunately we're coming closer to a time where, yeah, shit may happen and you have no choice but to go to herbal remedies for things. And,
well,
you know,
well,
I've
just
got
come
all
to,
kinds of
come to the point where you're correcting the underlying cause of the medical condition. And like we were talking about holistic medicine, it's wonderful, but not everyone is on the same page, and not the politics of medicine are on the same page, but taking a person's mind, body, and soul, spirit, culture, and everything about that person into account is a better way of treating somebody, but there are a lot of distractors, including the person themselves, who's not going to tell you everything. So,
well, you know, like when I go to the doctor, to the VA, and it's like I tell them, you know, they know I've got migraines, I've got a headache, all of this other stuff, and they're like, oh, that's easy, get rid of stress. And all I do is look at them and say, oh, sure. Get rid of stress. Sure. And in today's society and economic situation, get rid of stress. Okay, sure. I've got the stress of taking care of patients, the stress of driving, paying bills.
Yep.
So easier said than done.
Right.
Don't
you love it when a doctor tells you to lose weight? Just look at that fat doctor and say, how?
Exactly. No, you're right. The one doctor that I had in Tennessee, she said, you know, if you lose weight, your back wouldn't hurt. And she's heavier than me. And she started complaining of a backache, and I looked at her and said, you know, if you lose some weight, your back would stop hurting.
Oh, wait.
And
but
they
yeah,
both fell
so,
out.
So, yeah, so how do I lose weight, Doc, when you can't even do it?
True. To the herbal, well, honey. Honey is a natural antiseptic, and a lot of people, I don't know about you guys, when I get a sore throat, I throw honey in some herbal tea. And instead of using sugar, I'll use honey. I mean, it works great for sore throats or whatever, or I'll just take a spoonful of it and eat it. It does coat your throat. We also use honey in wound care.
Yep.
They actually have a honey, it's in a gel. And someone said, and I mentioned it to one of my patients that I just got, she's like, honey. I'm like, yeah. I said, it's a gel. They have a paste form, and they have one, it's called Meta Honey, and it's in calcium alginate in the sheet, and they infuse the sheets with honey. It is honey. And it actually heals wounds.
Okay.
So, I mean, there are so many things that you can.
Why? Eating grass?
Echinacea, ginseng, ginkgo biloba.
Which
money? How you pronounce that?
Okay.
Elderberry.
Whatever you want.
There's so many things. That you could just go on your phone and on your app store or whatever you have. And look up natural remedies or whatever, and those apps will have everything on it. Now, yes, there is the issue of what happens if you, God forbid, we have an EMP, then there goes your phone. Well, that sucks. That's why I buy books. A lot of them you could just download and have them offline. You don't have to have – you could use them without the Internet. I don't personally pay for them, for the apps on my phone, because if I change my phone, well, there goes the app I just paid for.
Not true.
So,
not true. Not if
really?
if you have a Google account.
Oh.
If you buy the app through the Google Store, your Google account, the apps on your Google account. So if you change your phone, then when you log into your Google account, your app is still available there. And so same thing with the Apple Store, or what they call it, Amazon, Apple.
If you purchase the
app through that, and as long as you have an account with them, all of the apps that you purchased will remain in that queue. So
yeah,
even if you do get a new phone, you can get it back to your phone.
But there are some apps that only work, like for Apple, it's done a certain way, and they're not adaptable to Android.
Yeah, but that company who makes that app most likely makes the app for Android and for Apple. So that Apple app will only work on an Apple phone, but that company can give you an app that will work on the Android. So, yeah, so I see your point, but.
No, true, and I've lost a lot. Of apps when I went from Android to Apple, I lost a lot of my apps. So I'm like, screw it, forget it.
I'll get the app on my home computer, and then when I download the app to my phone, regardless of what type of phone, I just log in to my account that's on my home computer. And
I just get whatever's on my whatever's in the Play Store or whatever. Now. Honestly, I prefer having books. Yes, they take up more room, but there's just something about old school. You could see it instead of having to flip through it and open it and close it and, or whatever. I mean, yeah, you could probably print out the pages. It all depends. Not all the apps you can print out. But, I have the Healing Foods book, the Complete Herbal Medicine book, and then there's an herbal antibiotic
whoever wins that.
And that's what I try to look in those and use those.
Oh, crap.
Because believe it or not, there are things that are labeled as weeds, like dandelions, that are actually good for you. Milk thistle is a straight-up weed, but it's good for you.
Real good for you. Ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha? Yeah, I don't want to talk about ashwagandha.
My patient, my doctor is putting a lot of people on milk thistle and ashwagandha. I don't even know how to say the damn word.
Ashwagandha.
But, yeah, she's been taking these anti-aging classes and functional medicine classes, and she's starting to believe in those too, especially. We also believe real highly in alpha-lipoic acid and let's see, what else? Those are three of the main ones that I've seen her put them on supplements, the alpha-lipoic, the ashwagandha, and then the milk thistle.
The lipogen that I take, it's a thermogenic. There's four thermogenics in that one pill. I shit you not. You will literally sweat like a woman in the middle of menopause. In 115 degree heat outside. And I'm like, dear God, I am like dying. And my son's like, good move, moron. and I took it. Never take if anyone takes it, really works. And it curbs your appetite. It burns your core, the fat. Don't take it after 5 o'clock. Because you're like a wired, and it does take some time getting used to. Because when I first started it, my body, I swear to God, it's just like I had like 10 shots of espresso, and along with a couple monsters and Red Bulls. That's how much I would shit, and I couldn't write. And it was probably the first week or two that I was taking it. But after that, it's good now. Now I just sweat, like, ungodly sweating. But it's doing what it's supposed to. But it has ashwagandha in it. And it has a few others. Hold on, let's see if I can.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We're playing Connect Four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let him go. Let him go. Hey, Kino, he knows him. Yeah, good boy, Kino. Good boy. Yeah, waiting. Just started.
Hold on a second. It has ephedra extract, Singalia, whatever extract. Hold on a second. Green tea, echinacea, hoodia. I'm sorry, it's got so much crap in there, I don't even know if I'm coming or going. But it works great. So if you're looking to lose some weight and you don't have any major underlying health problems, it really works. My dog is sitting here telling me to shut up, I guess. You guys still there, or did I get kicked off?
No, I'm still here. I just had you on. Okay. My neighbor came by, so I was just had it on mute.
Okay. No, it got awful quiet, and I'm like, where'd everybody go? No, my phone, when I get booted, I can sit here, they're talking to myself for 10 minutes and not even know it.
Yeah.
Let's see. But yeah, so the nine, this is what they're saying, the nine best herbs. The first one is echinacea, and it actually started with Native American practices. And it was used to clean, to help wounds, burns, toothache, sore throat, and upset stomach. And so a majority of these herbs, you use the whole plant, the roots, the stems, the leaves, and if it has a flowering bud, you use the flowering bud too. It's no different than having an herb garden. Like I have basil and mint and all of those. You could either use them fresh, or I dry mine. I tried both in the oven to dry them faster, or you can leave them in a colander and let them dry out that way. And then I use my little pestle and mortar. I bought this cool little bowl the pharmacies have, and I crush them and I use them. But usually people that take the echinacea is usually as a tea. And for your skin, you can actually apply it topically. Another couple of good wise old herbal things for bee stings and any of those insect stings, you were talking about tobacco juice. This is nasty, but they take the tobacco and you can put on it, or meat tenderizer. My grandmother would do the meat tenderizer because she didn't do the chew or the dip or any of that nasty stuff. And you make it to a paste and you put it on an insect bite or whatever, and it really does work. Works awesome.
Hey, Colonel, Colonel, I got to call it quits. I got something I need to do, but it's been a great show,
okay.
And thank you guys for having me.
Oh, no problem.
All right, good subject. Holistic's a tough conversation. We'll talk to you guys
good
later.
Night.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Ginseng, a lot of people go ginseng hunting, and you know, believe it or not, there are seasons that you could do ginseng to go hunting. They call it hunting for ginseng. No, it's not like hunting a wild animal. It's actually a plant, and yes, you have to dig it up. but if you do it right, it actually grows back when you dig it up. But usually, if you notice, there's a lot of drinks nowadays that have ginseng in it, but it helps reduce inflammation and it boosts your immunity. Your brain function and energy levels, if you notice, you'll see ginseng. I'm trying to think of what drinks have ginseng. Isn't it ginger ale or shit? I can't think of what drinks have ginseng in it. But there are different types of ginseng. There's Asian types and the American. Hold on a second. I'm trying to think here. Hold on a second. So if you can use ginseng short term, and they're not really sure what happens if you use it long term, but you could also get it, ginseng. You can buy it if you don't want to go look for it. You could buy it online or get it at a lot of your health food stores. Elderberry is another one that's in the day, and that is said to help headaches, nerve pain, toothaches, colds, viral infections, and constipation. It's also good for reducing fevers. But a lot of them use it for as a syrup or, you know, to put it in your tea or whatever. But that's really good as well. St. John's wort, it's a little yellow flower. It looks like a weed, though. But you can actually buy that as a lot of these you can buy it. Go to Walmart. Any pharmacy will have all of these herbs. You'll notice the little brown bottles. You can buy a majority of your herbs anywhere, you know. But Bobby, are you still around? Or are you napping?
I'm here.
Okay, free beer. We could go ahead and end right now. Oh shit! I'm dropping everything.
All right.
I keep getting damn messages from work, and I'm like, Yeah.
All right. Well,
so,
it was a good show, as usual. Kimmy, thank you. Lorna, thanks
no
for
problem.
Being here, as always.
Yeah, first.
Everybody have a good rest of your night. God bless America. God bless our children, our missing, our veterans, military, first responders, and God bless the defenders. Good night, everybody.
Good night.